Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Public media is evolving. Community voices demand relevance, trust, and innovation. Today on Trailblazers, we welcome someone poised to lead that evolution in our own backyard. Hassana Birdsong, a Lehigh Valley native, has just been named CEO of Lehigh Valley Public Media, overseeing PBS 39, WLVR 91.3 FM, and LehighValleyNews.com. She arrives at a pivotal moment. Public media is in flux, funding is uncertain, and audiences are shifting. With 25-plus years in advertising, media transformation, and leadership, including roles at Adept Group and the Express Times, Hassana brings a mix of vision, grit, and local roots. In this conversation, we'll explore her path, her leadership philosophy, her vision for public media's future in the Lehigh Valley, how she'll navigate challenges, and what legacy she's aiming to build. Hassana, welcome to Trailblazers.
Thank you, Melody.
So, Hassana, you're from this region, and now you're leading its public media. Tell us about your professional journey and what major steps led you to this new role as CEO of Lehigh Valley Public Media.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you.
The journey to get here makes a lot more sense when I explain it, because when people say, where did you work last? They go, okay,
please,
how did
do.
You end up here?
Yeah, sure.
So I started my career, and I think I've always worked at places that were either in a growth mode or in some sort of transformation and change. And that's where I'm comfortable and get excited. But you said 25 years ago, I started at the Express Times, took them through the transformation to Lehigh Valley Live. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally left there, I was the VP of advertising. So I led that team and transitioned people from selling print only to digital. And it was full transformation as well as revenue growth. I then left and went and worked at a company called Adept Group. Adept Group is a professional services company. There, I was able to lead a founder-owned organization on behalf of that founder, so I really got to take off just the sales and marketing hat and dig into operations.
Yeah.
So I was able to completely transform the culture, to shift our incentives and our operations to be something that was more scalable and really drive profit growth.
So, yeah, I mean, so it was almost like a natural transition. I knew that you were at the Express Times, but I was thinking, oh, yeah, the trajectory kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Because Lehigh Valley Public Media recently, sort of, launched LehighValleyNews.com. And mm-hmm. So it was kind of a similar situation at the Express Times.
Yes.
What excites you most about leading Lehigh Valley Public Media at this moment in time?
So I keep saying I do love a challenge. So I really enjoy things that are difficult, a sticky wicket, some people might call it. But I was about the mission. This is my first time working for a nonprofit. And the mission of our organization is really to utilize the assets that we have, our radio, our TV, our Lehigh Valley News, the digital platform, as well as our building. Those are all assets that belong to the community. Use those to transform the Lehigh Valley, to make the Lehigh Valley better today than it was yesterday. And I'm absolutely all about that. Doing it now when public media is under fire, when it's in such a moment of transition, it just excited me even more, knowing that it would be that challenging.
Well, you are coming in during a huge time of transition, right? So the organization was going through its own transformation in the last few years, right? There was some leadership changes, and now we're up against funding cuts. I mean, just public media is changing. What's your vision for Lehigh Valley Public Media over the next 3 to 5 years, and what priorities will guide you in the next few months? And let me just say, you've been there 90 days at this point, right?
Yes.
So what's in your first 100 days? Are you going to have a town hall? What's the vision? What's coming up in the next few months, do you think?
We've actually done a lot in the first 90 days. And fortunately for me, the board prepared for my arrival, not knowing it would be me, but prepared for the arrival of a new leader by putting together a strategic direction. Now, that strategic direction is high level, mm-hmm. so it's going to require some additional validation. We did a community study, so it's informed with some data. And what I've started doing is mostly listening. So I've been meeting with a lot of our community partners or potential community partners, the stakeholders that we serve, to really try to understand what is it that people need and want from us. What are people willing to support from a philanthropic perspective? Mm-hmm. Our vision is that we'll be a trusted community hub that can convene the community and provide them with the information that they need to be informed, connected, engaged with the community, mm-hmm. all in one place, delivered on the platforms that they want in a personalized fashion.
Yeah. When I look at Lehigh Valley Public Media and all of the entities that are kind of underneath it. So you have a division of NPR, you have a division of PBS, right? These are huge brands. And in a recent announcement, you mentioned the need to unify platforms mm-hmm. and improve accessibility, for example, limited content in Spanish and disperse websites. How do you plan to tackle some of the challenges of, you know, bringing that to life and continuing to lead, you know, through the transformation?
Right. Well, as we already discussed, it's been less than 100 days. So I am still at this point, which I think is very good, have more questions than answers. There are some days where I show up and I think, oh, I've got this part figured out. And then something happens and I realize I actually don't. But there are some things that we do know, some things that we can do that I'm working towards. So you mentioned the Spanish language. I left a meeting this morning where we're trying to sort out the workflow for us to translate Lehigh Valley News into Spanish. So every article that's in Lehigh Valley News would be served on a Spanish language page in collaboration with La Mega. That's one thing I know for sure and have discovered is that we can't do this alone. This community is full of nonprofits mm-hmm. and full of corporate partners that support each other in this ecosystem here. Mm-hmm. It's a unique place, and really not operating on an island and amplifying the voices of those that need to be amplified and collaborating with those people that can support those efforts is what I'm very focused on doing.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we're working with the Spanish Immersion Learning Center to do a Spanish Immersion TV program. So we'll be launching that. So these are collaborations where it's not just us working as a silo, but we're working within our broader community.
And the Lehigh Valley's great at that, right? Whether you're looking at nonprofits or mm-hmm. economic development, everybody works together and they do it well. Mm-hmm. We all play pretty nice in the sandbox, so that's great.
We do.
Shifting gears just a little bit, because I want to talk a little bit about leadership. Trailblazers is about leadership. As you've climbed your career, what's one lesson you've learned the hard way? One you'd maybe pass on to other leaders?
Only one? Or I've learned a lot of lessons. I've had the good fortune of being surrounded by people that are inspiring, that are motivating, that have been a part of my professional life for many, many, many years. But I started my career as a salesperson. And as a salesperson, you could pretty independently hustle to meet any target. And as you sort of move up and the targets get bigger and bigger, it becomes impossible to be able to do that on your own. So you have to start to transition into really working as a team or leading a team, bringing people along. They say there's a proverb or a quote that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Mm-hmm. And that's really the message that I would say. That's the lesson that has been most consistent for me. I'm a very independent person. I was the oldest child. So I'm always ready to just get in there, fix it, and get it done. And you can't do that. There are no heroics that can truly lead an organization. And in this role and in the role I recently had, that's just not possible. So
team with a capital T, right?
You got it.
Being a woman of color in leadership, I'm going to go there for a second. What has it been like to
rise? Am
I a
woman of color?
I know, right? What has it been like to rise in leadership as a woman of color, especially in sectors like media or nonprofits? Mm. What obstacles, assumptions, power, or cultural dynamics have you had to navigate?
First of all, I don't want to speak for everyone. So sure. While I am a woman of color, I am a very specific woman of color. I'm Hassana Birdsong. I've had my own very specific experiences. And I would say as part of my experience, whether it was put on by me or by other people or a combination of those things, there was always pressure to prove that I belonged where I was. There were rarely, if ever, people that looked like me. I'm trying to actually think now. There were rarely, or if ever, people that looked like me in the rooms that I was in or wanted to be in. And so that pressure alone makes you feel like you have to prove to be where you're at. In addition to that, I also didn't earn my degree until 2021. So while I had a wonderful career and people who believed in me saw the hard work I was doing and my performance stood by that, I got a lot of promotions. I was able to sort of move up that corporate ladder, but I didn't have that piece of paper. And so that was always in the back of my head as well. Mm-hmm. So the combination of those things, not seeing the people, having, you know, the doubt that comes up because mm-hmm. of that, makes you work in a way that is sometimes unhealthy. So you're mm-hmm. always trying to prove yourself to validate your being in the place that you're at. And so I think that has been a part of it. What I've learned as I've grown as a leader and as a human being is that it's more important for me to show up authentically.
Yes.
So that people can see it's not about perfection. Right. It's not about working 8 billion hours. This is really about you are enough, you are worthy for the role that you're in, and that's what matters. And it's incredibly important to me now to be a person who others can see in the role that they want to be in. You know, I've been told by people who've been around in public media for decades that I'm the first Black female CEO in public media. And that's not something that I take lightly because mm-hmm. I want for other people to see that. But I want for them to see that I'm comfortable in this space and that I'm leading authentically. It doesn't have to sound or look or be like anybody else.
And you actually just answered my next question. But I mean, you make a really important and relevant point because never mind race, you know, whatever. As women, mm-hmm. I think especially in leadership, it becomes increasingly more difficult. And you do and you do and, you know, we almost hold ourselves to a standard that is unobtainable.
Absolutely.
Right. Let's talk for a second on that note about motherhood and career.
Oh,
right.
Boy.
So you're also a mother.
Yes.
How have you balanced your personal life, community work, and a demanding career? And what choices or boundaries have helped you stay grounded?
Sometimes not
and,
well.
And spend a minute on this one, because I think
sure.
a lot of people, there's a lot of women out there mm-hmm. that maybe struggle with this.
I would absolutely say sometimes not well. I've not always done the best job at balancing my personal life and my career, because my career has it's always been not just important to me because, you know, everybody needs money, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I really enjoy. And so I get a lot of joy out of it. And people don't always understand that, right? And so now that my kids are older, I mean, my kids are in their mid-30s now. They're actually adults. They're not kids. I can 100% say that I wish that I had, when they were younger, spent more time with them in a different way. My kids are fine. They're great. They're both leaders. One is serving his country. My stepson is in the Coast Guard. Oh. My daughter is a missionary. These are people who do, right? They're doing well. They are human beings that are really giving back and doing something to change the world. And I am so grateful for that and so proud of that. So I'm not here to say I would go back and change things, because I think things happen the way that they're supposed to, or that things turned out the way that they did because of how things went. But it just, people talk about work-life balance a lot, right? They want to have that perfect balance. I think that's a myth. Mm-hmm. I really do. Balance is a mirage. There are seasons. There are times where I'm going so hard. First 100 days of this job, absolutely bananas. It's insane.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep that pace up for 2 years, but I'm fine right now. In another 6 months, I would level off so that it's not quite so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay to have that imbalance for a season. You just have to make sure that it's not too long. And you always have to make sure that you're prioritizing the things that are most important, the things that when we're done here, those are the things that you wish you did more of. As much as I love my work, nobody's ever on their deathbed saying that they wish that they got back to that person via email in less than 24 hours instead of 48 or 72, right?
Yes. And actually, I'm going to go a little off script here real quick because I think it's important. And it changed kind of how I approach some stuff recently. I recently saw you at a women's summit of some sort, okay. I think hosted by the Chamber. And you were on a panel and you were talking about a book that you recently picked up. And it was called Atomic Habits.
Ah.
What did that book teach you? And has anything changed, you know, because I know it changed for me certain things, but talk about consistency a little bit, because I think, again, you know, that's a recurring theme in leadership that is hugely important. What about consistency? What about Atomic Habits kind of?
So I'm not sure what I spoke about at that conference, but ironically, it was that conference when we talked about knowing when it's time to pivot that led to my decision to when I got a call. That was on a Friday. I got a call on a Monday about this role. And I said, you know, I am interested because of that summit. So that was it was an inflection point for me when that summit happened. But there are some habits that I would go back to when I look at that sort of balance that I have, that there was a time where it was my personal health, whether it was mental, physical, emotional, not a priority. Mm-hmm. And I created habits in my daily life that allow me to, or that force me to, focus on those things so that I don't lose sight of those things. I use day parts to, like, religiously to block time for the things that are most important to me. And I do remember when I read that book so long ago, that day parts was one of the big habits that I created that has stuck, like, no matter what. And it's just my time to work out blocked out on my calendar. Mm-hmm. My time to, if I'm going to dinner with a friend, they'll laugh at me. Like, you just literally sent me a calendar invite for happy hour. Yes, I did, because it is that important to me. It's on the calendar. This is a thing that I'm going to do, and I'm going to honor it. I'm honoring myself by honoring those commitments. So I have no idea what it was that I said, but that,
no, I mean,
when I think about some of the habits that I have, those are it.
I mean, it kind of changed my life because I'm also doing the same thing. And, you know, because you do have there balance is one thing, but I think you're just a more productive person in general. If that routine that also includes certain things that are needed are put into place. So
yep.
I think it was awesome. What are some of the sacrifices you've made along the way, small or large, that maybe go unseen?
So there was a time, like I just started to say, where I really sacrificed my own personal, like me. I was sacrificing me. I will always do for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, even when I talk about feeling like I would have wanted to spend more time with my kids, if you ask my kids, they would not say that. Yeah. They would not have agreed that I wasn't around enough. But selfishly for me, there's things that I just would let go because other things and other people would be the focus. And those are the sacrifices that I made then that I make less or differently now. And so it's less about quantity and more about quality these days. You know, I have a completely different lifestyle now. For the last 12 years, I was working remotely. So there was really a lot of flexibility to sort of get that downtime and work when it worked for you instead of, you know, having such a rigid schedule. So that's a huge sacrifice for me right now, having the type of schedule that I have. But those are the sacrifices that you make. When you see people, like I see you out there at the events the same as I am, other people are done working and we're still at those events doing the things that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the sacrifices that I consider that we're making for the greater good of what it is that we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good point. And I'm going to shift gears again just a little bit here. You spoke about events, but let's talk about community roots and giving back. So you and I actually kind of, I mean, we knew each other a little bit from school, kind of. But then we actually, you know, junior league together,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful organization.
Love the junior league.
You've spoken about your passion for giving back to the Lehigh Valley. How has your connection to the community shaped your priorities as CEO? Mm. Because you're in a nonprofit now, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
From Easton. My family is still here. I mean, my dad has a barbershop downtown in Easton. Oh. My parents still live on the south side where I grew up.
Okay.
My sister is a teacher in this community. I've got my nephews in school here. So this is my home. This is where I am. This is where I'm rooted permanently. I can't imagine living anywhere else at this point. And so the community isn't just like wanting to do good for this community isn't a slogan for me. It's really very personal. Yes, I would love for my family to be proud of the work that I do, but it's much bigger than that. This is home. This is where I live. And so when the opportunity came to work at a nonprofit that could impact the Lehigh Valley in such a dramatic way. I mean, we are in the process of doing so much to, you talked about the brand equity, you know, you've got PBS, mm-hmm. you've got NPR. Those are gems when it comes to brand recognition. So being able to work with those brands, but also Lehigh Valley News, which, you know, that was part of my background. But the convening of the community that happens with an organization that has a building like we have, mm-hmm. like that was different too. I am all about connection. And I think while we are connecting people and informing and engaging people with the digital assets that we have, at the end of the day, people still want physical connection. And so to be able to be a part of an organization that could truly bring the community together, when you think about this, a community that is informed is more connected. When you know more, you can connect with others more. You realize that people are far less different than they are from you. You have far more similarities, even though we're all different, mm-hmm. we have more similarities. And it eliminates a lot of the tension that can be there. Mm-hmm. So when your community is informed, it's connected. And when a community is connected, it really thrives. And that's what I wanted to be a part of. And so being here, being from here, and having that sort of servant leadership, that having been volunteering since my very first job at the Express Times, I got the advice from somebody who said, you need to volunteer. Like, that is what you need to do to be good at this job. Get out there in the community and volunteer. And I did. Mm-hmm. I went to a Rotary Club meeting, raised my hand at the end to introduce myself and said I was looking to volunteer. You can only imagine how many people came up to me with opportunities mm-hmm. to volunteer. So another lesson I've learned is how to say no, because you need to do that. But mm-hmm. I've always been very active as a volunteer in this community. And now this is the first time I get to do it as my job. And so
That's great advice. And you mentioned a couple of things that kind of hit home from a perspective of, you know, making sure that you're not just giving back, but rooted here and making that a priority. I want to talk a little bit, though, because you're at a pivotal point. And, you know, if anybody's kind of looking up public media, mm-hmm. Lehigh Valley Public Media specifically, the transition that you're and the political and funding scrutiny mm-hmm. and all of that, how do you plan to balance financial stability with the mission-driven content and to still bring that forth?
That's a really good question. And I like the way that you phrased it because it is multifaceted, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about the political part of it. It's also about the structure of public media itself, right? Mm-hmm. So the only way that we can handle any sort of financial situation when it's this dire is with focus and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my priorities are that fiscal discipline, really reining back the spending that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's public knowledge. Everybody knows we right. have an investment that we got when we sold our airwaves. There was an auction. We got $80 million and we've been spending that in a way that is not sustainable. So now I'm here and I'm saying, we're spending too much. If I don't know how much you know about financial spending with investments, you probably know a lot.
We'll talk about that after the now.
But so where we should be is at about 4% to keep up with inflation and not continue to touch the principal. We're more than double that. where we've been. And so it's my goal, my objective now that I'm here, is to get us to a place where we are spending appropriately so that this is a sustainable asset for the community. If we continued at the rate we were going, and I live as long as I'd like to, it would be gone. Mm-hmm. Like, we cannot do that. And so how can we spend less but also continue to serve the community? This is the thing that keeps me up at night. But I do have a plan. And as I said, it's 100 days in. So the plan is, you know, it's in a state of flux. But I know that we need to change our revenue fundraising model. Right now, it is extremely reliant on the model of, here's this coffee cup that has the name of your favorite show on it because you pledged X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work long term. That absolutely will not work long term. And so what we're building is, we are building a membership model based on Lehigh Valley Public Media, not based on PBS, not based on NPR. It's based on this community, this hyper-local community, and what we do for this community. And so understanding what the community wants, what they need, what they're not getting, and what is able to be supported from a philanthropic perspective, that's the work that I'm doing now. We've got the direction, that trusted community hub for content and information and convening. What goes in that? What are the elements of that? And that, again, is the work that we're doing now to validate. So you've got that sort of the revenue side of it, but then there's the expense side. Well, we have to spend, you know, the FCC can be pesky. There are requirements.
Really?
That, yeah, absolutely. So they've taken all the funding from the federal perspective, but all of the very expensive FCC requirements still remain. So how can we work to navigate some of those legacy systems to find ways that we can do things in a way that reduces our cost and can allow us to focus on future?
Stay tuned on that. With just a couple minutes left in the program, believe it or not.
I know.
I could talk for hours here. When you look ahead, what legacy do you want to leave for public media, for this region, and for your children or mentees?
So I think that when we do this right, and I say when, not if, when we do this right, what we create here could be a model for other public media organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't leave the for-profit world to come and do this and do it halfway. Mm-hmm. My goal is to really take this next level and create something that is a working model for other organizations as we all are transitioning through the media environment that's changing, a funding environment that's changing into something that is duplicatable for others. So it would be my goal to be able to not only transform us, but to fully transform the industry and the Lehigh Valley along with it.
Yeah. There's a lot of great best practice examples in the Lehigh Valley, and we look forward to seeing you be one of them.
Thank you.
Hassana Birdsong is stepping into one of the most consequential roles in our region at a moment when trust, local voice, and media innovation are more critical than ever. Her path from Easton to executive leadership through media and community has prepared her for this very moment. She's taking charge, not just of television and radio, but of a narrative, access, and connection. Her vision for Lehigh Valley Public Media is about uniting platforms, reaching more people, and reflecting every part of our community. Hassana, thank you for sharing your vision, vulnerabilities, wisdom, and resolve. I know this conversation will set the tone for what comes next in your leadership and for public media here. And to our listeners, if there were ever a time to rally around local journalism, media that reflects us, and storytelling that connects us, it's now. Trailblazers is proud to share this journey. We'll be back soon. Until then, stay curious, stay engaged, and lead with purpose.